Hi, welcome to Gamercast, episode 121.
It's 122.
Hi, I'm Adam.
Yes, you are Adam, and I'm Paul, and we are the hosts of Gamercast. This is Gamercast episode 122.
And I was reading something that said on the screen 121, that's why I got it wrong.
Recorded on the 29th of June 2008. So, woohoo.
Yes, I'm absolutely shattered. Come back from Bristol and ended up having to go via Glastonbury, so instead of going through Glastonbury on the A37 back home, I had to go via the motorway. Which meant I was racing my girlfriend in her Golf GTI while I was on my motorbike. And it's amazing how much you can actually feel yourself wanting to take off the bike and let go, and your helmet trying to be yanked off your head when you're doing 100 miles an hour down the motorway.
Were you really doing 100 miles an hour?
Yeah. We're trying to catch up with Sarah.
Why was she catch up with Sarah? How fast was she going?
She was probably doing around about 80.
Look, do I need to tell you about the speed limit?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll save that for next show because we've got more important things to talk about this week.
Yep.
Because we have a letter from our favourite Bobman.
Bobman.
Person. He says, this is in relation to our, like, you know, the last few episodes, we've been playing around with our sound quality. So this is in relation to that. I would gladly swap a bit of background noise for a voice that is crisp. Fine, you cleared out the noise, but at the cost of the overall sound, it's very dull. Just my opinion. Well, you know, maybe he's got a point. So yeah. We do, like, act on people's feedback, because now we are using a different microphone.
Now we're using the microphone we normally have plugged into the desktop PC, but plugged into Paul's tablet PC.
Yep. And with the desktop off, hopefully there'll be less noise. Right, I tried playing a previous episode and the latest one on my MacBook. It's another flipping advert.
Yay, MacBook.
Yay, MacBook. Speaking from the guy who doesn't have one.
Yeah.
Through small, big speakers, headphones, and through a decent desktop PC. Decent HP computer. Decent Dell computer. Decent Toshiba computer. Decent motion computing computer. Decent, you know, so on.
Mm-hmm.
Decent Sony computer. Whatever. And I think the desktop PC was the worst, with echoing voices.
Yay, Mac.
I haven't heard any echoing voices. Then again, my ears are fairly sensitive. So are mine. I'm like just half deaf. He then goes on to talk about Left 4 Dead and says it's produced for the morons who can't install a mod. There are so many similar mods for Half-Life 2 that are exactly the same as Left 4 Dead and just as poor. Relocating to another part of the country again soon, so may miss next week's show. I'm sure I can leech some internets and get iTunes running. Catch you later.
Yeah, I must admit, that's a good
thing.
Well,
you know, you can always download our episode, like, in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah.
You know, we can handle it.
Hang
on a minute, he hasn't finished. He also left another comment about the BlackBerry Bold. How does that rank on your list of smartphones / PDAs?
Well, we had a quick look on the website, very flashy.
So what should flash. We do? What should we talk about first, Left 4 Dead or BlackBerry?
I'll just put it in Left 4 Dead.
Left 4 Dead first then, yeah?
Yep. I fully agree with him. Left 4 Dead is pretty much very similar to what you can get from mods, because one of my mates was trying to get me to download this Half-Life mod. But unlike a mod, this one is being purely created as that game.
Unlike a mod, you have to pay for this one.
Yeah, you've got to pay for this one. It's not a modded game. It's not based off any particular... Well, it's based off an engine, but it's not like, let's redo someone's engine for a mod. And this
it's
one
time
is
for
on,
epic wins.
This one is on the PlayStation 3.
My sister was listening to Gamercast the other day, and she found it really funny whenever I interrupted you.
You always interrupt me. If you don't interrupt me, people think that you're, like, falling asleep or you're not paying attention.
I know, that's why I've got to keep talking.
But yeah, it's...
You know what? I saw a really funny story. Carry on. Oh my god.
I lost my...
You're talking about Left 4 Dead, yes. How your mate was trying to get you to download it, and how...
No, he was trying to get me to download a mod that was very much like Left 4 Dead, which he said was quite cool, but liking this one just for the fact that this one is out there for the console people, so they're... For the Xbox 360, they're really pushing Xbox Live and the utility for the headset is going to be really pushed a lot more. So it's not just headset, it's going to be a lot more. I wouldn't be surprised.
Headset and smoke signals?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Headset and candles?
Some headsets do a lot of different things, like you're getting rainbow voice activation and stuff like that. But more probably on the distance you're away from people. It's not just you can hear whatever the other team members say, you can hear it. A bit like Halo, where you've got, you know, Halo, they had it brought in so that you were picked up on distance, yet you had a radio button where you hear that, and then you could talk to your team only, sort of thing. So they're saying, they didn't say anything particular, but they said they were really pushing to the fact.
Basically, that what Adam just said is, people in your immediate vicinity could hear you talking. The enemy team could hear you. The friendly team could hear you. Everyone could hear you because you were talking, and people have ears.
Yeah.
Or you have the radio, which so, talks to your team.
Where for this game, they didn't really say what is going to be, but they're saying they're really pushing around making it a good system for the head, because the game relies purely on cooperation, you know, yelling to someone that I'm reloading so that they cover your doorway while you're reloading. Otherwise, the whole team is dead. If you don't communicate, you won't last very long in the game. So it's really pushing communication, sort of thing. But yeah, no, I know what it means. There are some good mods out there to mod up, like Half-Life and Fear and all those other ones. And it's, yeah, you could just easily enough go get one of those. But this one's going to have some good quality in it, hopefully. This is going to be like a Marmite. You're either going to hate it or you're going to like it. It's either going to run really well the genre game, or this is just going to fail miserably.
Well, you know, how he says it's, you know, one of those produced for morons who can't install a mod. Yeah, that sums it up.
Yeah.
But morons outnumber us 20-1.
Yeah. But, yeah.
P.S. Gamercast does not officially call its listeners morons. P.P.S. This is the Bobman alone. The views of Adam and Paul are their personal opinions and may not reflect the general point of whatever.
We just call you noobs.
The Nooblets. Oh man, we should have a whole panel. It's Adam, Paul, and the noobs. And we just put six noobs on us. Yeah, well, we have Chris on occasionally. Although he's downstairs playing World of Warcraft now.
On your internet.
Clocking up my internet. With his axe and elite skills with his level 70 guy who wears green gear.
Right,
so the BlackBerry, what do you think about Rim's computer thing?
Well, BlackBerry does get pushed. It got pushed out into the geek land. You got a lot of geeks and IT people using them. But by that, it was the user-friendly phone for emails and simple internet browsing for the business executives. A lot of people I work with, a lot of bosses, ITP leads, you see them going around and on their belt, you'll see a BlackBerry. My boss now has a BlackBerry. I have to show her how to use it. And it's kind of like, it's their way of being able to move on, because we don't have...
I have never used a BlackBerry, so I have no first-hand experience of them. But do they support Exchange?
I'm not 100% sure.
Because
I know
a couple of years ago, when I when they took off, they didn't support Exchange. So typical companies, their mail, calendar, contacts is all handled by Exchange server. And for BlackBerry, you had to install BlackBerry servers in addition to the Exchange servers.
Now, I know we don't have Exchange at work. We have another system for the email.
What do you have?
Novell. And the reason why they use it is because it's not profile, which means that it's less up for an attack.
Security through obscurity is not security.
Yeah, well, that's RS.
Exchange is probably far more secure.
We're
because
moving
it's
over,
out there, and you ha- how many times is
we're moving over to Exchange.
How many times has Exchange been hacked?
Not very many.
Exactly. And the beauty of it is everybody uses it.
But it's like, it's exactly the same.
It means, you can access your work email on your insert advertisement iPhone. Assuming you're allowed to do that. Which the IT people will probably stop you from doing.
Yeah.
Because what does the iPhone support remote wipe or not?
Yes, it does support remote wipe.
Get onto them.
Everything that Exchange provides.
Not all phones support remote wipe.
No. But yeah, the iPhone, it had a lot of boxes to tick. to make sure that it could do that sort of thing, because it's being used, pushed out a lot into business and education.
I still don't think the iPhone is secure enough. Not for handling information like, you know, corporate information.
But
even with remote wipe. If it's got it, and Adam knows what he's talking about.
No, it has got remote wipe.
Are you sure?
Yeah, you can wipe everything on the phone.
Hey, do you want to host your email on my Exchange server? £10 a month. That's what I charge Catherine.
£10 a month.
I'll tell you what, because it's you, £5 a month.
I'm going to be paying you
£5 a month anyway.
I'm going to be paying £50 a year for an Exchange server.
From where?
The new one they're bringing out. Because they...
Oh, you are not serious.
I'm tempted.
Don't bother. Google, Yahoo, and Microsoft are going to be fucking free offerings within a year.
Well, I've already have Google Mail and Google Calendar. I'm just looking into it. I'm not putting any money down on the table yet.
Don't bother. Free. There's going to be free services out there. Which work with your stuff you've already got.
The reason why I'm interested is because...
I'm going to kick your ass one of these days. You know that.
They're bringing it out as a initial
case service. Don't you think it's funny that MobileMe and Windows ME, their logos look so similar? Maybe there's some sort of connection there. They're both shit. But then, you know, people say, oh, this is really good. The trouble is, it's just .Mac version 2, and .Mac was shit. Okay, can we cool?
Yeah, continue.
Right, what's a BlackBerry? What's going on? So BlackBerry is basically a waste of money. If you want a phone with email on it, hello, Windows mobile phones.
Yeah,
since
to be honest,
AD0.
A BlackBerry, very good phone,
hype.
Stylish.
Slick. The BlackBerry Bold, it looks nice. I wouldn't want a phone with a keyboard taking up half the size of a device.
Good business device,
which is why I like a slide-out keyboard. Because the keyboard's bigger, it just makes the device fatter. I'd rather have a fat device with a keyboard hidden.
My honest opinion, right? Here we go.
Your honest opinion, here we go.
It's stylish, it's sleek, user-friendly.
User-friendly, are you sure?
Let me finish. You'll like the ending. Don't interrupt.
Are you
great
sure?
Great for business. Screen amazing. All these great things.
Are you sure? How do you know the screen is amazing from looking at a picture on?
And then you have a look at either the iPhone or a Windows mobile device, and then you wonder why you bought a BlackBerry. That's what it's like. You look at it and you go, it does look nice, but then you go...
The iPhone... Why are you even talking about the iPhone in the same... Can I just finish?
I like my iPhone. It's really...
Shut up.
It's great.
Why?
There's no pain to lose.
Fine. I use my finger anyway. You're talking about iPhone. This is a phone which captured 5.8% of the smartphone market in quarter one 2008. 5.8%. That's the smartphone market. You're not in the same league, boy.
Still like it.
And you like it, but it's not in the same league. RIM, Symbian, and Windows Mobile. They're the big boys. Especially Windows Mobile in Europe. That's way bigger than in North America. Where actually Symbian's quite big into a RIM. So that hopefully answers Bob Mann's questions about our thoughts are about it, because we don't really know anything about it, so we're just, you know.
I bought BlackBerry, and I turned around and went, what the hell are you doing?
I looked on the website, and it just had a picture of it and no specs, so how am I supposed to know anything about it?
Yeah. I must admit, even I would say an iPhone is particular taste and particular needs. I absolutely think it's a great device, and I think Paul would actually get on using one if it was given to him for free. But to be honest, Paul is the user who would probably get to a point where he's like, right, today I've actually found my limitations with this device.
Oh, I've already found them, dude. Yours just then.
You need more. Where
it's too locked down. I don't like it.
I myself ended up thinking, wow, I've got all these cool things and I never use them. So for me, an iPhone is more simpler. But
I can't save Word documents on it. When I'm in the train station, I jot all my notes down in Word. Or OneNote on there. Can I do that on the iPhone? No. Exchange support? Great. I need Exchange. Mm. Shut up, damn dog. So that's great, adding that. It's good that Microsoft licensed it, although I'm sure the Windows Mobile team are like, NOS! So yeah, they're saying NOS, while the Exchange team is saying, yeah, give us some money. Right. I don't like the fact that it doesn't have a keyboard. I'd like a phone with a keyboard. on-screen keyboard, using it, you know, when you're, say, if you're driving and you need to fill the keys, you can't do that. You know, so, plus it's Apple requires iTunes to activate it. I assume they haven't changed that.
No.
iTunes on my computer, F off.
It's because if the phone gets locked, it requires the PC, it requires your PC to unlock it, so no one can, if someone nicks it and they lock the handset up, only you're the person, you or your people at O2 can unlock it.
What's ridiculous?
So they can't reboot it off another iTunes. It's locked to your iTunes.
That's silly.
To your account, so you can't. It stops people going, well, I've got iTunes.
Plus, it's way too expensive. The cheapest contract, if you're doing a pay-as-you-go one.
Yeah, and the
Cheapest contract is £45 a month. As of when they have some again.
The reason why they don't have any is because they won't be selling my phone anymore.
I know they won't. That's why they haven't had any for the last... That's why you'll notice I used the quarter one 2008 statistics, because in quarter two they were like, you know, there's been a month. Well, there's been 2 months where they haven't had any.
Yeah. But as of
which is why I'm fair and say the quarter one statistics and not the quarter two statistics, which were dismal, and they shipped about 10,000 units.
But yeah, as of...
I'm a fair person.
11th of July, there will be the new one out. The 8 gig is going to be extremely a lot more cheaper compared to what they were offering the price.
Hang on a minute. These new phones are more expensive.
No, they're cheaper.
No, they're more expensive. The upfront costs are cheaper, but the long-term contract is more. The cheaper pay-as-you-go, sure, because it's, what, 300 and 360 for the two respective models?
I don't know exact on the prices yet.
It's 300 and 360, I think, pay-as-you-go. That works out cheaper than the contract, but it's still...
Yeah, the 8 gig... The price of the actual unit, the 8 gig, is actually cheaper than the 8 gig for the old model. They've knocked it down by £100.
Well, that's O2 subsidized to the unit.
It was forced by Apple.
Oh, really? Apple are getting dead then, are they? Yeah, Steve Jobs said we're going to ship 10 million this year. It's halfway through the year and they shipped 1.5 million. Oh, my name's Steve Jobs. I'm talking bollocks. We're going to suddenly ship 8 million iPhones. Dream on, boy. By the way,
I would love to see you at the head of a panel with having Steve Jobs and someone from Microsoft sat there. Were you blittering out questions?
By the way, Steve Jobs, do you know that Windows Mobile shifts 10 million phones in 4 months? All the time? That's what they do, man. He's talking bollocks. Right. Let's actually get on to something like about games.
Yep, we've got some news.
Yep, Diablo 3 has been announced.
Yep, Blizzard are at it again.
With their billions of pounds they're getting from WoW, are actually decided, let's spend some money. Let's spend 60 million out of our billions on making Diablo.
So we knew that it was something else coming out because they put some information out on the net, and a lot of people were always going a bit hoo-ha about the fact that they thought they were going to do.
Can your iPhone do this? No.
Well, it doesn't go that direction, it goes the other direction.
Can it do this? It cannot do it. Can't do it, boy. Which window were we on?
I don't know.
Go back.
Show notes. Yeah, a lot of the big rumours about the idea that they thought people were going, we want StarCraft, World of StarCraft, but basically they don't have the time, effort or money to be putting something into
basically,
their project.
Basically, they don't
want
to release something which will compete with World of Warcraft.
Exactly, because you're going to get a lot of people dumping World of Warcraft to go onto it. The only way they could get around it is to do something like what Sony have done, and also what the people at NCSoft who did City Heroes have done, where you actually can pay and your payment pays for both accounts on a massive multiplayer account and stuff like that, where you can pay for it so that you can play Star Wars and something else online at the same time.
Ooh, fun!
So
it's like EA Land, lots of happy people.
So yeah, it's that whole, they would probably have to go down that route so they were getting the same amount of money out, but it's the whole pushing content and stuff. So they were very adamant that they weren't going to be doing anything like that. And I must admit, myself, I was hoping for another RTS, but I wasn't after this one particular. I was actually after, well, I know Diablo 3 is not really an RTS, but I was after Warcraft 4, to be honest.
So hang on, we're talking about the Diablo announcement, and yet somehow we're talking about World of Warcraft and StarCraft. And
yeah. The reason I'm
RTS
saying is...
games.
people knew that Diablo 3 was coming. They just didn't know it was going to be Diablo 3. You knew that it was either going to be something from StarCraft, something from WarCraft, or something from World of Warcraft.
Hey, I've got an idea. Why don't Blizzard try making something new? You know, you've got your money. You've got shed loads of money. Take a risk.
I imagine they might do it at some point, but I think they've got a lot of fans who are like, come on, it's been a long time.
Come on, Blizzard can afford to do lots of things. The amount of money they're getting for World of Warcraft,
they should be able to produce.
It is immense. It's like releasing a game every month and having 2 million people buy it. That's what the subscription's like.
I must admit, they really do need to start getting their teams, another team aside, to be doing some more games while the World of Warcraft team continue on as usual. But, I must admit, I'll be looking forward to this. I've not played Diablo. It's the only one out of the series I've not really got into. But, I mean, I was intrigued. When I was doing the earlier shows where I was on about the stuff that I found out in Canada, and I was really intrigued by the fact that they had all three battle chests, brand new ones. So you had your World of Warcraft battle chests, Warcraft 3 battle chests, StarCraft battle chests, and Diablo 2 battle chests, with all the expansion packs in there and stuff like that. I must admit, I was very tempted for the Diablo one, and I must admit, I may buy it, but to be honest, I don't know if I really need to go back and play Diablo 1 and 2 and the expansion packs. I might be alright to jump in on number 3, and that might be enough for me. So I'm tempted there. I am quite tempted. I must admit, the reason why I'm thinking to jump in on 3 was when Neverwinter Nights 2 came out, I went and got Neverwinter Nights to count playing that, and I ended up not playing Neverwinter Nights 1. I just went straight into number 2 and played that. And I'm tempted to maybe give this a go. You've seen the video. You weren't majorly impressed, were you?
I'm not a Diablo fan.
No, so...
I'm not a fan of a top-down, you know, like, old-school...
Baldur's Gate.
You know, Dungeon Siege. No, I'm not a fan of those sort of games. If it was first-person, maybe. There's no release date for it. Blizzard said it's too early to talk about release date, so it's probably going to be a couple of years.
Yeah, it's just... They've got to the point where they finally said, right, we are going to do it. We know we're going to do it. It's 100% definite, so that's what we're going to tell you. A definite for Diablo 3.
When's E3 this year?
I wasn't sure if they were still going to be doing one.
Yeah, it's E3 this year. Well, when is it?
I haven't a clue.
Well, it's July, I think, but I don't know what the date is.
It should be soon. I haven't seen anything advertised on Xbox yet.
Anyway, so yeah, Diablo 3. If you're a Diablo fan, sure, great. But there's
going to be some fans who are going to be like, woo, woo, woo.
Yeah, I imagine some people are going to be hyperactive about it. Diablo after like 10 years, Diablo.
But yeah, if you're a Diablo fan, please, you know, shove on some notes to this episode and see how you feel about it. What do you want out of Diablo 3?
Send us an audio letter.
Yeah, audio letter would be pretty
audio
cool.
Letter raving about how awesome the game is, and we will play it on the show.
Yeah.
Just make sure it isn't like half hour long.
But if
my god, Diablo 3 is so amazing!
But if not, just quick note, some notes posted onto this episode about what you want out of Diablo 3.
Yeah, I've never got
why
into Diablo.
Why is it good? Why should I go buy it? Tell me why I should go buy it.
Right, yeah. You know what we forgot to talk about? You know, I had that comment come in from some guy who posted on my blog.
Oh, yeah. Going back to the portable phones.
Yeah, going back to the phone land now, I had a comment on my blog from some guy saying, I am buying this phone. This phone refers to my 2-year-old XDA Mini S, aka the HTC Wizard, which is the old phone I want to get rid of and replace with an HTC Touch Diamond, or Touch Pro, or whatever. Whichever I get cheapest, especially if a Touch Pro is really delayed. But has it got free intranet? Yeah, because free internet is up to the phone, which goes out over the network and hacks your service provider to like stop from billing you.
Yeah.
So that's just a really silly comment I had from somebody, which I thought was funny, but we said it really unfunnily. So
yeah, I meant to be.
I should have said it in a funny voice, shouldn't I?
I think a lot of people get confused and they all of a sudden realise that this phone can go on the internet. It's not WAP. It's got an internet browser. And they start
WAP.
Thinking,
oh my god.
Oh my god, how old is that? But yeah, they automatically start thinking, wow, it goes on the internet, so do I have to pay for that?
Well, it's to do with your contract.
And it's like, well, yeah, you do if you don't have the right contract. It's the same. It's like you have to pay for your internet at home, so, you know.
Phone companies really like that phones have the capability to go online now. because it's an extra way of getting money out of you, because you the competition really like has meant everybody's on, even on a basic contract, everybody's got like practically unlimited texts and minutes.
But to a point, you've got some sort of browser hooked up to your phone, even if you're on Nokia or something, and you end up getting charged for using that browsing and stuff. So
anyway, some other quick news items this week. Hyper-V was released.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what that is?
No.
Oh.
It's explaining.
Hyper-V is basically the new virtualization from Microsoft, which, you know, Virtual Server 2005 gets about 75% the performance of an actual physical machine. This gets something like 99% the performance of an actual physical machine. So basically what you can do is... You install it on Windows Server 2008, but what you can do is use Windows Server 2008 core installation and put the hypervisor on that, and then, you know, that's sweet. Basically, it's really good. Anybody or all our IT people out there should immediately I'm looking at you,
mm-hmm.
and your buddies at Westlands should immediately replace all their servers with virtual machines. Okay. Also in the news, Bill Gates is now a part-timer at Microsoft. Not that that will really change anything, but whatever. Mm-hmm. A lot of the media are paying a lot of attention to it. Battlefield Bad Company came out,
mm-hmm.
and we have sold out on Xbox 360.
Is it a console-only Battlefield Bad Company? I had a quick look at the video and stuff. I did have a go at the demo. I wasn't 100% sure. I wasn't majorly impressed.
If you're a PC Battlefielder who likes Battlefield 2, Battlefield 2142, it obviously doesn't stand up to the PC versions.
No.
But it's a perfectly reasonable console one.
Still pushing out the Battlefield.
Of course, the PC is going to have Battlefield Heroes, is it? Later this year, which is going to be advertising funded.
Yeah.
Which apparently is so crappy looking, it runs on a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Get this. You know my phone...
Mm.
My phone can run Battlefield Heroes.
Really?
No. Of course not. Bloody 96 megs of RAM. Come on, dude.
Jumping something in quickly on the notes. I watched a video interview with Ubisoft with their latest Tom Clancy game, Hawks.
Oh, Hawk stuff?
Yeah. From the sounds of it.
Hawks, that was H-A-W-X.
Yeah. This is actually... we're still running up the idea that this is either going to be really good or it might be really crap. But from what the things they're putting in it, it looks like it might be really good.
Looks like it might be really crap.
They did emphasize, like I did on that back episode, about the fact that it showed in the video them helping a Ghost Recon team. And they did say that on many occasions you will be doing missions that will be connected with Ghost Recon, as well as Rainbow and some other people from...
Rainbow Six Vegas...
So you do get
Vegas
to bring
team.
Into this environment.
Vegas 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
And one of the missions is help protecting a shuttle taking off. And you're having to guard the area where that shuttle's taking off. Because on board the shuttle... On board the shuttle...
Space shuttle?
Yeah. Because on board the shuttle is a satellite, which is from their this new World War game that's coming out that they're doing, which is like an RTS-style game. And they're basically using this... this Hawks game to be connected with all the other games in one way or another to make it a bit more of a flavor.
Why are they launching it on a space shuttle? Why don't we just launch it on
a rocket? It might be a rocket, I don't know. I just knew that it was something they were launching a thing. Have a look on your Xbox, it'll say it on there.
That means going downstairs,
not
turning
now,
it on
later when you're down there,
finding a controller.
But yeah, they were saying that
signing me in.
It's got to
turning the speakers on, putting the input on the speakers on, changing the thing on the TV. It's like, I can't be bothered. I'll just use the computer. It's on.
It's got built-in computer AI helper thing that helps you fly the plane.
It's got flipping Clippy built in.
Listen.
Are you writing a letter? It looks like you're writing a letter. Fuck off. Oh, I'm so glad Microsoft killed this. Fucking... Are you writing a letter? Hey, I'm an AI assistant.
Are you trying to shoot someone? Let me shoot them. Look, I've just shot some of your team. Isn't it funny? Their head blew off. No, it's basically allowing you to be able to help you fly the plane, as well as being able
to control
the system.
It looks like you're
And basically, they're calling it's like having You spelled U wrong.
I spelled U wrong. I must
it's
be
It's like having ABS and all those other features on a car. Like you
ABS, it looks like you're braking.
And, you know, like you can press a button so you can get out of having it on there. You will be able to do that in this, so that all of a sudden you can turn everything off.
And then crash.
And you're running off skill alone sort of thing. But, yeah, it is...
I really like this new suggestion thing on YouTube.
No, it's quite good, the new suggestion. It's starting to get proper search capabilities in there compared to before where you didn't type it in right. I was forever going to Google, typing it in, finding what I wanted, then going back to YouTube. What are you looking for?
There's a really funny video of some guy dressed up as Clippy. And he's like he's annoying his mate. I think it is called Clippy, isn't it?
My God, there's a cartoon about Clippy. There it is, there. That's Revenge of MS Word.
Funny. Hey, it looks like you're writing a letter. Fuck off. Hey, it looks like you're writing a letter. Fuck off. Hey, it looks like you're writing a letter. Fuck off. Hey, it looks like you're writing a letter.
I'm not writing a letter. Hey, it looks like you're writing a letter. You little fucking paperclip.
Yeah. Go back to that one that looked like a cartoon.
There we go. Browsing the interwebs.
That one. Clippy face facts. Microsoft Office XP. Yeah, it's actually a cartoon about Clippy. Just type in Clippy faces facts on YouTube and you'll be able to watch this.
Yeah, we're not going to be playing on the show because it's 5 minutes long.
But no, that looked like quite funny. An actual, you'll enjoy that. You can scream at it. You hate Clippy. That's what you want. You want a t-shirt that says, I hate Clippy.
I murdered Clippy by installing Office 2007.
Yeah. Right, shall I get on
my... I should actually do that and put them on something shit like Cafe Press, and then I get sued by Microsoft. You're infringing on our trademarks. Yeah. What are you going to do about it? We're going to sue you.
Yeah.
And then Cafe Press take it down. Right, you've got some reviews, I take it.
Yeah.
Ooh, actually, first... Shall I announce what I've been playing lately?
Go on then.
About Black and White 2.
Black and White 2?
Mm-hmm. I installed it a couple of weeks back, and now I'm on my, I'm on the 7th land now. I'm playing it as evil this time, and get this, I am 100% evil. Basically, in the last land, I killed like 200 people. I just picked them all up, and then threw them. And I was evil, apparently.
Cool.
Yeah, Black and White 2. Good game. Shame it's not really got that much replayability since it's the first time I've replayed it in 2 years.
Yeah.
Although I wanted something where I build stuff and like, you know, make a city.
I got Black and White and...
Well, Black and White...
It just bugged. I forgot to a level where I felt my character kept falling through the floor and I couldn't complete it.
Black and White is so buggy. It was released back in, you know, the ME... time frame, and it never had decent support for Windows XP. It was, you know, there was, although it would run, it was really glitchy on XP, and on one of the lands, I mean, just randomly it would just die.
Yeah.
And once it happens, you have to delete your saves and start right from the beginning. I mean, I tried getting it running on Vista and it's the same. I had the Creature Isle, is it? Yeah, the Creature Isle expansion pack. I had that running for the first land, and then just halfway through the second land it just dies, and now it just won't start up again at all. It's so buggy, and Lionhead honestly fix it, which is why I installed Black and White 2, because I actually wanted a game which is also buggy but at least works. So yeah,
okay,
that's right. What I've been doing playing lately. I've also been playing Spore Creature Creator. Yeah, whatever. I've also played a bit of SimCity 4 lately. Ooh. What have you been playing lately?
I've been playing Metal Gear Solid 4.
You've been playing what?
Metal Gear Solid 4.
What's that?
It's a game on the PlayStation 3.
The PlayStation actually came out? God, that went under my radar. PlayStation 3, I thought that was cancelled. We had a show a couple of years back. PS3, cancelled. April 4.
No, I've been desperate to play this game. It's absolutely amazing. I'm a big fan of the series and wanted to get into this one just for the fact of being able to continue the story. I am not going to say anything that's going to spoil anything for anyone.
Oh, what a shame.
I'm near enough at the end.
I'm so happy you're not going to spoil the game for me.
Yeah, I'm near enough at the end. But yeah, this one, much better. Instead of being in one location, the story gets you dragged all over the world. So you have different acts that are...
Like you're writing a letter.
In different areas. So you're in desert, you're in cities, you're in grassland, in buildings.
So is it more of a shooter than a sneaky game?
You still can sneak, but it's taken things... It's continuously evolving from where it originally set off on Metal Gear Solid 1 on the PlayStation to... Yeah, it's there ready. It's there ready, is it? And from number 2 with being able to, for the first time, have first-person capabilities.
Whoops. I beeped.
And then number 3, it moved away from having the Soliton radar where you could actually see this
radar.
It was this radar in the top right corner that showed you the blip of where the person was and showed you where
your player.
No, the bad guys, and shows you where their field of vision was so you could hide from them. They got rid of all of that and
made it easier.
And made it harder by the fact you could hear, you got a sense of where they were, so you could see these movements on a circle to show where a snake could hear what was coming.
Mm-hmm.
Because it had gone back in time, he'd gone back to the original snake character during the Cold War, and he's in the jungle, and this was all in the
Cold War in the jungle. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Jungles are warm. They're warm places. Not
during,
cold.
During the Cold War between America and Russia, he's in this jungle.
American trying... what?
Yes.
Russia?
Don't make this hard.
What are you talking about?
So yeah, they've taken things from that. And
well,
one of the
I'm fed up of people saying, your society is Russia. And the Cold War was a war between blah, blah, blah. No, it wasn't. It was the United States being a bratty little git all the time. And don't associate... the USSR and Russia. Okay, Russia was a single republic of the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics.
Well, they had nothing to do with it. I'm on about this in that time period, but the Russians who were in it were actually not with the main Russian people. They were doing their own devices.
Oh yeah, like Stalin would let those people carry on doing their own thing. Come on, dude. This is an uber police state, and now you're having people saying, oh, we're going to go off and do their own thing. You can't have it both ways, dude. Either the USSR is a paradise of liberal stuff and everybody can go off and do their own things around the world and be mafia godfathers and whatever.
There was a good reason.
You can't have both, dude.
There was a good reason because all of the men had been dumped and left at a facility that they were guarding that was holding nuclear capability.
So hang on, where is this jungle then?
I can't remember. It's a long time since I played.
Was this Vietnam?
No.
Was this... where was Predator set?
I don't know.
Oh my god. Here we go. This is an uber way to link Metal Gear Solid and Predator. We have Snake going around and the Predator kills him. Potent.
He's been trying to find a way to push that button the whole time.
That's what my whole rant was for that one thing.
You're happy now?
No.
Can I push it?
No.
Hey.
Don't, you're going to break it.
Right.
I wonder what other funny sounds I can find.
So basically, this one moves on from Metal Gear Solid 3 with allowing using the CQC, close quarters combat training that you used in the third one, as well as the camouflage. But Snake just wore different camouflage clothing to allow him to be unseen.
Unseen? What a poor man.
But
oh, damn, I'm really good at this, aren't I?
Yeah. Shall I get your hat?
No, get on with it. Stop wasting time.
Right, so...
Every minute you speak is an extra, you know...
Yeah, so you're interrupting me and making me talk longer. So basically, Metal Gear Solid 4, he's wearing the special suit, which is called Octo Camouflage.
Octo Camouflage? Is that something like out of Crysis?
So
best game ever, Crysis.
So
okay, I'm going to shut up now.
Yeah, unlike...
Look, my mouth is going under here, and my hands I can't see.
Yeah, so basically, instead of the stealth camo he had before, which made you pretty much invisible, this one you can still see Snake, but when he stands still and hugs up against the floor or against the wall, The suit takes on the same texture as what he's leaning against.
So in other words, it's like a chameleon.
Yeah, chameleon suit.
I don't need to press it for that.
It's based off the octopus camouflage.
Octopus?
Yeah. The one that can move near a rock and it changes its skin to be the same colour as a rock.
So like a chameleon.
Yeah, like a chameleon as well. So yeah, the suit works pretty well, and the game control system has changed a lot more. Instead of it being a camera angle that's slightly above and then moves down as you're going down a corridor and stuff, this one is, it's a full three-dimensional camera, because unlike the other ones where you were trying to sneak into a base, you didn't want to get seen, but you weren't really shooting that large amount. If you did, you'd first person, shoot someone in the head, move on. This one is...
So it is much more action.
It's much more action, because the thing you're using to
hide... Because now Snake is so old, he can't sneak anymore. He has to just shoot. Oh, Man Snake.
Yeah, the mouse isn't over there.
I've got my pen, don't worry. I'm keeping that.
Yeah, so... Basically, because you're in a wars, you're in war zones, you're using everybody fighting against each other to hide in the battlefield.
Right.
So they're not paying 100% attention, because bullets are ricocheting off walls and you're crawling underneath gunfire, and then you'll join in with the battle to try and make the battle slightly change a bit. So you'll hide somewhere, pull out a sniper rifle, shoot someone in the head. That part gets flanked by the opposition, who will shoot you if they see you, and they move further forward. So you keep controlling the battle to keep moving backs and forwards to allow you to get through. So because of that, if you had the standard shooting capabilities that Snake had in the previous games, it would be incredibly hard. So what they've done is they've gone for third-person movement, as well as third-person over-the-shoulder shooting, but then you push a button and you'll go straight to first-person looking across the sight.
And if you release the button, does it go back to normal?
The triangle button flicks you from third person triangle, to first
person. That's the top button.
Top green one. So that flicks you backwards and forwards between looking over the shoulder with a reticle or looking down the sight. But then it's just holding the left trigger that allows you to hold the gun up, and the right trigger fires it. Now, if you let go of the left one, you put the gun down. But the reason why it's quite good is, if you come round and a guard has just stood there straight away and looked round at you...
Dude, don't point your gun at me.
You can let go of the first, the left trigger, so you put the gun down, and then if you hit the fire button, instead, he will smack them with the front of the gun, turn them round, and then you can pull the left trigger again, put the gun back up to them, and they'll put their hands up, and then you can frisk them, get some stuff off them, smack them out, or if you want, you can actually walk around the back of them, put your gun away, and then you could grab them by the neck until they're unconscious, or you could slit the throat. Yeah. The cool thing is the knife, you can actually use it as a close quarters weapon.
Can you stop flipping, winging your sword and knife around?
So
you don't have to act it out.
You can fight with a knife, right? But then you could pull like the L2 button.
L2.
Left side, lower one down.
So L1, L2.
So you hold down... No, my mistake. You hold down L1 that you're going to use a weapon.
L1.
Now, R1 would strike with a knife. But if you use L2, you point the knife and you pull an extra button and it's a taser and it will fire out slight taser electricity at the end of the knife. So you can go up to someone and just go zzz and taser them so that they would drop unconscious. Because the great thing...
Adam, dude. Stop bloody tasering me, shooting me, and stabbing me. You don't have to act it out. Quit it.
One of the great things about this game is anybody's played the other games.
Yeah, I had the unfortunate task of briefly playing Metal Gear Solid 2.
When you play Metal Gear Solid 1, there is a part of the game where you get tortured. And when you get tortured, depending on whether or not you survive the torture, or at one point you say, I give up, will actually determine which storyline you go down. You actually come out of the story completing it in two different ways. In each way, when you've completed it, you'll get an item.
An item? Cool.
Now,
a box of cookies and a box of chocolates. Which do you choose, my friend?
Red pill, blue pill.
No, I said box of chocolates and a box of cookies.
Cookies.
Okay.
But in number... I can't remember how they did it in number 3, but in number 2 it was collecting the dog tags.
That is such a rip-off of Gears of War.
Be careful, because Gears of War came out afterwards.
I know, that's why I said it. To Funnez.
But with this one, what they're doing is the two different
routes. No, wait, man. Metal Gear Solid 2 only came out last week.
The two different routes is complete the entire game without killing anyone.
You know what I find funny? You know that Stephen King book? That's such a ripoff of The Simpsons.
Which Stephen King book? He's called Floss.
The Shining.
The Shining.
It's a ripoff of The Simpsons episode. Haven't you ever seen it?
The Shining. Mother, I've been shinned. Get me a Band-Aid.
You use that shin of yours, boy.
I had to press the button.
No, come on, dude.
Sensible.
Engage your brain and work out what I'm saying here.
The Shining.
The Shining, we don't want to get sued here, is a rip-off of The Simpsons episode.
Yes, I know it. I know, okay? What you're about.
Rip-off.
Yes.
He totally stole it from that episode, man. That's a really good episode. I've got it on my computer. Let's turn it on.
Can I finish my review?
No, I'm like too busy interrupting you and pressing my buttons. Well, I have to actually release it for it to clear here.
So yeah, gameplay wise, so much more intuitive. One thing that's different is instead of Snake actually putting his back up to a wall now, it's more in the sense of he goes up to the front so he can come round, and it's all more about with a gun going round, because he's more likely to come into fire than he did in the other ones where it's guards he's going against. He's always in a war zone, so the gameplay has changed a lot more.
Question.
Go for it.
What is the storyline here?
I will try not to say too much.
Well, not the future storyline, but what's actually going on, like when you start the game? What's going on?
Basically,
you're an old man and you're a bit pissed off because you didn't get your pension.
You know about the
PM... So now it's revenge.
You know about the whole PMCs, corporated armies?
No.
Basically, the idea is it's a bit further on into the future, the game is, from today's time period, but the PMCs are starting to take over a lot more than countries, militaries, and they're hired to safeguard countries, or they're fighting the wars for other people so they don't do it themselves, sort of thing. And...
Is that what those giant robot things are?
They are owned by the PMCs. Okay. They're like Metal Gears, but they're unmanned ones. And you've been sent in to find...
Hiro Nakamura, who will go back in time and save us.
Got to go find Ocelot, a character from the previous game. And he's
Like a hamster making a nest.
He's running a
My
PMC.
Hiro voice is really bad.
So you need to go in and find him. So... You go in as pretending to be a rebel, because the rebels are fighting these PMCs, and you've got to go in and try and find Ocelot. So the first part of the game is all about that, and as you're going through, more details start to unveil about Snake and things like that. So they just break you into it slowly, but the storyline is very complex. It's finishing off all the ties of a lot of characters, and there's a lot of characters from all of the other games that are brought into this that explain...
Have they got the same voice actors and everything?
Yes, exactly the same voice actors for everybody who was in any other version of the game.
So basically they've just got the cleaners of the offices to do the voices, and that's why they can get them back so easily. Hey, look, here's 50 pence. Do the voice for us.
But, no, it's...
That's what EA need to do with all the Command & Conquer stuff.
Yeah, but what happens if the cleaner changes where he gets a better job?
He
won't.
Recession. He'll keep his job.
Graphically,
he's got to play tactically.
Graphically,
they've done
a good job with it.
As good as Crysis? No, because Crysis is good. I still need to finish that.
But no, I'm as a Metal Gear Solid fan. Oh, you will absolutely love this. If you were I like the look of Metal Gear Solid, but you couldn't get into it, give this one a try. You most likely
it is
will
a
like
bit different then, yeah.
Yeah, it is a lot different. And
I should actually speak towards a microphone, shouldn't I?
And for people who have not played a Metal Gear Solid game, some things you won't understand, but they've got this thing for cutscenes. L1 is first person, so as you're looking at a cutscene, it will come up with L1 in the top left-hand corner. And if you push that, you automatically get to see what Snake's looking at. It just changes the point of view. The other one is when someone's talking, you get the X button come up in the top right corner.
X, that's the bottom button.
Yeah, and when you push that, you get a flashback, and it actually will flash back and to footage from number 3, footage from number 2,
that sounds interesting.
Footage from number 1. So they do start this one is the glue that holds them all together. A lot of people weren't too keen on Metal Gear Solid 3 because it's not about the same character, it's about another person called Snake, and it's in the past. And it seems to be a standalone game. There seems to be no major ties. It seems the only ties that it really did have...
was the name.
...was the ties that were following on from Metal Gear and Metal Gear 2 Solid Snake, which were on the Nintendo Entertainment System. Now, this game connects a lot of stuff from Metal Gear Solid 3 and makes you realise that it's actually connected to all of the games. And there is a web of people, characters and storylines that are intertwined. And for the first time, it's actually explained properly instead of hinted to in the other games.
Basically, this time, you know, over the last, 10 years or so, they've basically just done whatever they wanted, and then they hired some guy, look, we've made a right mess, tidy it up for us.
But, it's the last one that Hindo is doing. He said he's not going to direct anymore. This will be the last video game with Solid Snake in. But said it is not going to be the last Metal Gear. He said there probably will be more Metal Gear games being produced, but he will only be a producer on them, he won't be directing them anymore, and it'll be about different people. But Metal Gear will continue on from this game.
Of course it will continue on, it can make money.
But,
unfortunately, making money is far too important in this industry, and so many games are like screwed over. It's a very sad fact. You can just imagine like the EA boss playing that. It's a sad fact. EA boss. It's in a game.
Lots of great characters. Weaponry. Let's get onto weaponry.
How long is this review?
I'm just trying to get a good review because I've actually played all of the games.
Oh yeah, because you're actually doing something this week.
Yeah.
Unlike last week's episode, which was 10 minutes long.
Plenty of good... like when we talked about this before, you can completely customise the guns. It really does help with a bit of different customisation on the weapons. Large amounts of weapons.
I played Doom 3 the other day.
If you don't...
interesting factoid.
I think if you killed every person you found and collected all the weapons, because that's the first thing you can do, you can actually pick up their weapons. As before, you just pick them up and drop them and you would get ammo off them. Now when you kill someone, the weapon they had in their hand, you can pick it up. You can buy more weapons and customize all the parts up, but as you go through...
Hang on, I know what's going on here. Metal Gear Solid Underground. Customize your weapon. Downloadable chav content for your game.
Make your
neon lights for your gun. We know you're trying
bling,
to be,
bling
know,
bling.
We know you're trying to sneak around a bit, but
EA did it with Army of Two. You actually have your gun sprayed up gold, so it was all blinged. I never did that. That was awful. But yeah, it's similar sort of thing where you're buying
a
more.
Gun should be made from wood and steel,
like an AK. You start with an AK. That's the first gun you have.
Nice to see these people are still so cheap. They have to buy the cheapest gun they can find.
But yeah, lots of guns. And there's plenty of guns out there that were specific to the areas and other places and people. So you pick up guns as you go through and different things.
Question. What year is this set? Or if it doesn't say a year, like is it 10, 20, 30 years out or what?
No, it's... I think Shadow Moses was around about 90s, it happened. 90s, late 80s, and this is like 9 years later. So it's trying to be around about our time period, maybe 2012.
The London Olympics.
But...
Beijing Olympic Games came out.
You have to realise it's not running off the things that have happened in our world at the moment. It's running off what's happened in...
It's running off Metal Gear universe.
Yeah, so it's running off their own universe.
Because, of course, like StarCraft is also not based on what's going on now. Unfortunately, because it would be so cool to have a Zergling as a pet.
Yeah,
apart from when it kills you.
Yeah. But,
which is why I want an Ultralisk. You just need a big pole to tie it to. With, like, huge, massive chains.
Cutscenes. Lots of cutscenes. You can skip them. And for the
you wouldn't want to skip them, would you, for the first go through?
But the good thing about it is, instead of being in that moment where you're like, shit, cutscene, I need a pee, I'm not paying attention, I'll skip it, I'll go back, you never do. What the hell's going on? The rest of the game is ruined. Now, you go press skip, you press X, nothing's happening. I'm locked out. You press start, oh my god, for the first time, it pauses the cutscene and gives you the option to continue the cutscene or skip.
It gives you the option to go to the toilet.
So you can pause.
Gives you the option to go to get your weed.
Some of the cutscenes are quite long, and you also get the mission briefings, which are quite a long bit of story. And the good thing is the mission briefing for each act, those you can watch later. So if you wanted to and you know what's roughly going on, you could just skip it and carry on playing, and you could go watch it later. Same thing with the other games with the camera. You can take pictures through it once you find the camera. And also, it also comes with Metal Gear Solid Online, which is a new version of the online system using the Metal Gear Solid 4 engine, which they've had for Metal Gear Solid Portable on the PSP and also on Metal Gear Solid 3 on the PS3. Through PS2, sorry.
Question, why is it called Sons of the Patriots?
The second one. Second one was called Sons of the Patriots. This one's called Guns of the Patriots.
Oh, sorry, Guns of the Patriots. Why is it called that?
I can't say without making it an absolute major spoiler. It's to do with something to do with the Patriots.
Right, so what? Is there a bunch of nationalists running around who need to be gunned down or what?
No, the Patriots so far, what you realise are the people who are running America from behind. They're the puppeteers that run the president and do all move everything around in the background.
Nationalists and Patriot, the same thing. So do we get to kill the nationalists?
I don't know, not got that far. Getting close to that.
Can I kill some nationalists?
You might be able to. I don't know. I'll let you know when I get to the end.
There's a new World of Conflict game coming out, I think.
But yeah,
it's
no.
Called Soviet Strike or something. I find that really offensive.
To be honest, I'm a Metal Gear Solid fan.
We know you are. You play all the old games. You're a Metal Gear Solid fan, and you've been waiting for this day for years.
I will definitely give this a 10 out of 10.
No, you're not. We only give ratings up to 5.
Okay, it's 5 out of 5.
No, it's not. It's 1 out of 5.
It is.
Okay, to balance it out, I'm going to say 1 out of 5, which makes it an average rating of 2 out of 5, because I have so much extra...
What did Catherine think of it? Has she played it much, or...?
Mm-hmm.
No, I'll have to ask her opinion. But yeah, I definitely like it.
Don't know, she buys the games, but she doesn't play them.
No time when you're at uni. No, she feels.
Yeah, no time, which is why you only had 6 massively multiplayer online RPGs going on at the time. Two, which were 6 hours a day each.
No, weekends and late evenings from.
And afternoon and morning.
Until 2 o'clock.
Oh my god, my alarm went off at 6 o'clock. I need to squeeze in a couple of hours of WoW.
I wasn't playing WoW.
Okay, so
City of Heroes.
Galaxies or City of Heroes.
Galaxies or City of Heroes. I can't do anything review wise on Metal Gear Solid Online. I haven't played it yet. I decided to wait until the end of the game. One thing that I have felt about this game so far is, like some of the other ones, and I must admit, Metal Gear Solid 3, I really wanted to do it, but never got interested in wanting to play it another time. Metal Gear Solid 1, both on PlayStation and GameCube, I played several times through. Metal Gear Solid 2, only the tanker mission as I played several times through. The plant mission, I have only played it through twice, and I could never be bothered to do it another time.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Number 2, it was the later mission that you did.
All I know was there was some rain, and like everyone was on about, wow, how cool the rain is, and it's like, this rain looks shit.
The effects on it are really good with like the sandstorms.
I'm talking about number 2.
And snow, it actually hits you, and you start getting more and more snow on you and stuff.
More and more snow on you. Well, I suppose when you're an old man, just like stood there, you know, that's probably going to happen. Maybe you should try moving around a bit, you know.
It comes off when you move.
Make use of that gun a bit.
But yeah, no, I was definitely very, very impressed.
In other words, I'll sum it all up. Adam likes this game. He won't stop talking about this game. He insists you should buy it because it is brilliant.
Yeah.
I, however, say... I'm playing Black and White 2. Whatever.
Right.
Right, what else you got to talk about?
Metal Gear Solid Database. I'll be quick on this. Basically,
you
Metal
better be, because I'm going crazy.
Metal Gear Solid Database is a piece of free software you can get from the store on the PlayStation 3.
So it's only available on PlayStation 3?
Yeah, because the game's only available on
PlayStation. The database isn't available on like my PC?
No, it's just... Well, I don't know. You can go onto the store from your PC.
I'm
but
not
I
going
don't,
to the Sony
website. I don't. I think it's a PlayStation 3 software, so it'll only run on PlayStation 3. But basically, when you download this piece of software for free, you can go through items, characters, timeline, and also characters and their organization of this person knew this person, that's their dad, that's their mum. It's like family tree, but how they're all
the
organized.
The social network.
So if you've got the Foxhound team, all of the members of the Foxhound, but if one member was connected to someone else, it would have a link going there and you could follow that link and they did this and that's at this point and tells you which game they're in and all this, that and the other. The great thing about it is once you put it on there, it won't let you use the software until it scans your PlayStation 3 for any game save data for Metal Gear Solid 4. And it checks your game save data and sees how far through the game you've got. And it will only.
So it won't spoil anything.
It won't allow any spoilers to spoil the game for
you. Unless, of course, there's a bug in it where the first level save game opens up everything.
But yeah, once you've completed it, it unlocks everything out for you and you can look at all the data from what you've actually done already, which I think is quite good because as people were playing it, they'll be like, wow, I remember that, but I'm kind of like, oh my god, yeah, did that happen? I just can't remember the ending from that number one or number two or something like that. So, and some people may only have played them through once, and it's probably a long time since they did it. So, yeah, it's quite a useful tool. And also, if you're a Metal Gear Solid fan, but you've gone off it, and you're kind of like, to be honest, no, it doesn't appeal to me. You had a play on your mates, and you were really put off, but you were really curious to know what the hell happens. You can use this piece of software.
Okay, thank you for sharing that with us.
Yep.
Quick news item. Well, quick rumor mill item. It's rumored the Xbox 360 will be getting a, like, Mi clone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Mi is in Wii, the Wii dudes. So instead of having, like, a two-dimensional avatar, you can actually design a three-dimensional, like, person.
I know why they're doing that.
Because the Wii's got it.
And the PlayStation 3 is already bringing theirs out.
Oh, so the PlayStation is already copied Nintendo.
Yeah, but it's using something that already exists. You know that real life three-dimensional game that's out? What's it called?
World of Warcraft.
No, it's called Real Life or something like
that. Second Life.
Second Life. Yeah. They're using characters.
World of Warcraft.
It's connected with Second Life or something like that. Or it's something to do with that. So you can have your three-dimensional avatars and stuff and you have your own home. I've had a look at it. I don't know
how. I don't think you need your own home. Surely you just need, you know, an icon. I mean, a two-dimensional picture or a three-dimensional representation of whatever you want.
Yeah, but you can play with a character or something. I don't know.
Well, isn't that like the whole PlayStation Home thing?
Yeah.
Isn't that something? Yeah.
Yeah, the PlayStation Home.
Well, yeah, this is literally just a Mii clone. It's not going to be anything.
Yeah.
Well, that's what the rumour is anyway. But they look a lot cooler. The apparent screenshot, whether it's faked or not, who knows.
I think it'd be an interesting thing, the whole avatar sort of thing. You can imagine it would get to the point where you can have three-dimensional faces, so you have an avatar, but it's actually your face, or an adaptation of your face, what you want people to
know. The trouble is, whenever you do that, it always looks shit.
But I can imagine in the future it gets to the point where you
these avatar... these look cartoony, so yeah. It's not going to be like...
But imagine you get to the point where you have a proper avatar of something roughly your face. And then if you play a game, if you want to, you could have the option to have your face on the character, so you are that character. You're watching yourself dressed up as this character playing the game.
Playing Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah.
You spin the camera around and you see that Snake has been replaced by some nerdy little kid.
With an iPad. Oh, that's it. I just want to quickly throw it in. Gadgets.
Gadgets?
Gadgets for Metal Gear. He's got a few already in pocket. One... which is really weird for things you can collect. He actually has an iPod, so you can listen to music off the iPod and podcasts and stuff. It's just something that they put
in. So is that like similar to the Xbox where it can stream it off a network?
No, this is something that's nothing to do with the PlayStation 3. It's just done on the software by the company that made Metal Gear Solid 4. Basically, you pick up tunes around the game, and it's
that's such a rip off of Doom 3.
It's
Doom 3, you walked around, you could collect people's PDAs, get their emails, get their voice recordings, and get their videos and whatever.
Well, this is just...
This is a rip-off, dude.
It's music from Metal Gear Solid.
Doom-free FTW.
It's only music.
Doom-free FTW.
It's music...
I'm not telling you again, dude. Doom-free is FTW. No.
It is music from the series, as well as podcasts from the people who create it and stuff.
Oh, great. We can have some... Yeah, you got
I don't listen to it anyway. But the other one is you've got your... Because obviously you can hide with the Octocamage. Everyone's noticed he's got an eye patch, which is the solid eye. And that allows you to look in normal view where you've got it on, but it allows you to just about get a slight radar of where people are from their movement. Then you've got binocular vision, so it allows you to zoom in to see on distance instead of having to use binoculars. And it's also got infrared night vision. So it's a mixture of night vision plus infrared, so you see footprints and you can pick out people from distance and stuff like that.
That's one of my pet peeves when people say like night vision cameras are infrared when they're not. They're just like, you know...
Yeah, they pick up the infrared, fires out the light. I think it's...
Well, no, they're just like, you know, light intensifiers. They just boost the amount of visible light. They're not infrared.
No, infrared is where you fire infrared light and the infrared lens can pick up on it. Because my camera is infrared.
So is mine, which is why it's got a filter in front of it.
But, yeah, you've got that gadget.
Which I've been tempted to remove for astrophotography purposes, because the filter would allow a lot more light. I don't care if it's infrared or not through.
The other gadget is...
But it would screw up the red end of the spectrum colour-wise.
You've also got Metal Gear 2 with you.
Oh, great. So you can, break out your PlayStation 2?
Nope. It's actual Metal Gear. It's a small version that's created with a little flip-out VGA screen. So when you're on the codex and you're talking to them, you know you used to get these video cameras, which you know that they can't see each other. This time, when you see the video camera of your mate who you're talking to, when you're on the communication thing, you actually get a VGA screen. And a lot of people are like, well, he's got weapons on him and other gadgets, which are not on him. They're, you can only hold so many things, and the rest of them are like... were in your backpack or whatever in Metal Gear Solid 3.
In your socks.
This one, it's like they're actually stored in the Metal Gear. So, and you talk to this sales bloke who you sell weapons with, and you're kind of like, well, you don't see him, so how can you sell it to him? And the idea is you buy a gun and your Metal Gear goes finds him and then brings it back and get it out of that. But the other cool thing is you get a PlayStation 3 wireless controller, and you use that to control the Metal Gear, and you can cloak it, you can go up to people, and then you can tap on doors to make them go, huh, what was that? And they'll walk over the Metal Gear. As you cloak it, and then you sneak up behind them and grab them. Or you can go up to people, and it can electrocute them. So you can touch them on the back, and, zzz, and you can knock people out with it, without having to come out of your hiding space. If you can't get in, if you're too big to be in full view of everybody, you can send this little robot out. So those two gadgets I missed from the review that were really cool.
His stupid robot friend. Turn it to smeg off.
But yeah, that's...
Right, so have you finished now?
Yeah, I finished. Right. Definitely good game.
We can't end on Metal Gear. Let's think of something else quick.
You want to end on Metal Gear?
Oh, the Olympics game has come out on PC.
Yeah.
But we don't have any.
Did not come out on PlayStation 3 and Xbox and many other titles?
PlayStation 3 was cancelled because everyone realised the PS resale.
What about Xbox?
Xbox sold 1 million copies.
And then sold out. We still got more.
I don't know, but we have like 2 or 3 on like everything, and you know, whatever. It's an Olympic game.
Yeah.
People are like fed up of wearing out the controllers with the
double tap
X and Y business.
Yeah.
Or whatever it is nowadays, A and B, or
they make you do that.
X and it's, square.
It's to stop people like me. Track and field, I can just make my arm vibrate over the button like that, and I can run faster than anyone else. Great, Dragon Ball Z games on the PlayStation, it was like you have to do a Kamehameha and you had to tap the button as fast as the other person. You got these blasts that smacked into the middle of the screen and you're pushing your energy blast against the other person. The new versions, you had to go tap, 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 tap. The old one we had on the PlayStation, we both sit there, we're like that, trying to vibrate our hands over the button to make it go faster and faster just to kick ass. To the point that it would flare up my tennis elbow, somewhat chronic, and I'm like... But... Yeah. So yeah, Track and Field. Actually got Track and Field on the Xbox.
Track and Field. So yeah, Beijing Olympics came out. What else has come out? Spore Creature Creator, Alone in the Dark. Battlefield, we've already said. Lego Indiana Jones.
Yep, Lego Indiana Jones. A demo is available on Xbox 360 downloads. I downloaded it, but I hadn't actually got a chance to have a go yet. So it's on my thing. I think I'm putting off actually playing this game just for the fact that I know I'm going to like it, and it'll just make me want to go and buy it, and I just don't have the money to buy it at the moment.
But, alrighty. So is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
Okie dokie. Well, that's it for episode 122. You can send us feedback at feedback@gamercast.net, or better yet, you can leave it on the blog at gamercast.net, or you can post on the forums at portalforums.net. You can dig the show, and you can subscribe in iTunes or Google or whatever, or you know, Podnova or the Zune, or you know, the Creative Zens, or so on.
Ooh. Yeah. Party on.
Did I say you could dig us?
Yes.
Okay. You can dig us as well.
Dig us.
The link is on the webpage at gamercast.net. That's GAMER. What's the show called? Gamercast. CAST. Keep doing that. That's really funny. .net. That's not funny. Alrighty. So are you available next Sunday?
Mm-hmm.
Next Sunday, which will be... Oh, ooh, I've got to announce our changes as well. I've been, you know, over the last few months, I've been considering some changes to how the show is done.
Mm-hmm.
So at the moment, we have an album for the year.
Mm-hmm.
But what I've been thinking about doing, we need to do this now for next week's episode, is instead have an album for the month.
Okay.
So basically, it means it's a lot more easier to like cut things up and just say, I'll put, you know, July's episodes on my iPod. And, you know, so instead, so I'm trying to get feedback for that. I've also got a few other changes, like actually having episode names for the shows. So instead of, you know, episode 122, we could call this episode 122 Metal Gear Solid.
And, yeah, you know, the major thing we're talking about.
People can, like, see that. So
yeah.
If somebody can, like, you know, say what they think about those plans, because I don't really want to interrupt album 2008, because it will mean it's half done.
Yeah.
So half of me wants to, like, roll this out for 2009, but the other half thinks this is a really good idea and we should do it now.
Yeah.
And also, album art will be embedded in the MP3s. Before, we had one or two people who let us know. We used to have album art in the show embedded in the MP3 file, which, you know, a computer could, like, show you the icon instead of the generic MP3 icon.
Mm.
But we had a few comments from people who said their music players didn't support that, and they wouldn't even play the MP3 at all, so we stopped doing it. But that was, you know, a year or two ago, so hopefully those people have got newer players.
Yeah.
So I'm tempted to do that as well. So let us know if your music devices, I mean, the iPod and all that, support it. It's probably some fringe player from who knows who. So I'm tempted of doing that as well.
Okay.
So I want feedback on those plans.
Sweet.
What do you think, Adam?
I like the idea.
But do you think we should roll it out next week or 2009?
To be honest, I'm a host of the show. I don't listen to it afterwards because obviously we've just heard it.
I listen to it.
Now and again, I listen to it. I'm trying to find information to do on another review or check old.
Listen to our podcast every week.
But
like two or three times because I have to do all the editing after your silly comments about how gay everyone is. I have to cut it out because else we're going to like get letter bombs and stuff.
Basically,
every 10 minutes, Adam says somebody's gay randomly.
I don't.
Metal Gear is gay. Snake is gay.
You're talking about yourself.
Aha, uh-huh, very good. Nice comeback.
I need to have the button to
get... If I tried my rim shot here, I would press it.
Yeah, here we go. Major delay.
Sorry, I was on the wrong page.
Yeah, I think the people have to tell us if they would mind just rolling it out now, just for the fact that it's going to bug up how they're organizing all their files. If they're literally keeping only 2 weeks on at a time and then they delete it, knowing that if they want to listen to it again, they'll download it again because they want to fill up hard drive space.
Well, the thing is, if somebody's got all our episodes, it's over 3 gigs, I think.
Yeah, so I don't think it's going to bug too many people if we roll it out now.
I mean, I only have if I download a podcast, I only have the last one or two episodes, mm-hmm. which go on my phone and then delete from the PC. So,
yeah.
You know.
Okay.
Feedback on that, please.
Yep.
You can leave feedback again, Rebecca, Tom. Skip back 5 minutes for all that.
And we'll catch you next week.
Next Sunday.
All right.